Couple days away from Cardinals, Vikings, State Farm Stadium, home opener for the Cardinals. Patrick Peterson's return. Lots of storylines. Here to give us the Minnesota perspective of this matchup. She covers the Vikings for ESPN.com. You can also hear her on ESPN Radio. Courtney Cronin, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Courtney, thanks so much for the time. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. I mean, I think going into this game, we got two fan bases with completely different reactions to week one. Cardinals fans thinking, oh, that was fun. Let's do this again. Where's the level of consternation among Vikings fans after losing to Cincinnati in week one?
I mean, you don't want to be in my Twitter mentions right now. It is a very toxic place. There's a big level of concern now, too, considering Anthony Barr has not practiced all week. Everson Griffin, who's in a limited situational role but still an important role for their pass rush, somehow got a concussion yesterday and wound up on the injury report after not being on there with a concussion on Wednesday, and he's not practicing today. And then there's a lot of concern about Eric Kendricks. He did not practice yesterday, showed up on the injury report with a quad injury. He's out there today. I would imagine just for how they're going to do this with the injury report, they'll probably list him as questionable. But if you're down your top two linebackers against a team that has a very mobile, fast, quick, whatever other adjective you want to put in there for Kyler Murray, if you don't have those two players, good luck. I mean, it was already really tough last week. And it wasn't even from like a defensive side that there were so many concerns with the offense. But now you take a look at like all of the pieces that the defense might be missing, and if you're a Vikings fan, you're probably thinking it's going to be a really, really long day and look even worse than it did last week.
Now, Mike Zimmer's got a reputation for being one of the better defensive-minded dudes in the NFL. What do you think he can or will concoct for Kyler Murray given those limitations?
I mean, given where the team stands right now and just how tough it is to climb out of an 0-2 hole, if you find yourself in there, yes, I know it's a 17-game season, but that, like, look back at the numbers. Not many teams make it to the postseason after an 0-2 start. So the sense of urgency, I think you're going to start seeing Zim just pull out all the stops, which you probably weren't expecting them to have to do this early in the season. But when you lose to Cincinnati in a game that goes to overtime, I think for him, he looks at Kyler Murray, looks at all the weapons that they have on the outside and says, I've got to come up with my best because this team is going to require my best considering how they were able to attack Tennessee, who I still think the Vikings have a vastly superior defense to what the Titans are fielding right now. But it's when you have a quarterback who you can only hope that you can keep him in the pocket for as long as possible. When you see him go sideline to sideline and then launch that first down pass, I think he gained like 45 yards of just like net distance on that run. Like you just know it's going to be a long day and it's going to be really, really tough to try to contain him. And, you know, these corners got tested last week. We didn't see Patrick Peterson get tested. I would imagine he knows that. Peterson knows that the Cardinals are going to try to, you know, key in on somebody that they know really, really well and, you know, try to attack him when they, you know, if he winds up against, you know, any of the multitude of options. I mean, take your pick, whether it's Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green. I mean, they could be in for a very long day in the secondary.
ESPN's Courtney Cronin, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. I've been marveling at the number of similarities between the week one opponent Tennessee and the Minnesota Vikings going into this game. One of those, and we didn't know it going into the Tennessee game, Courtney, is that they struggled at left tackle. Taylor Lewan and Lamb both got just abused by Chandler Jones. That similarity is Rashad Hill at left tackle for the Minnesota Vikings had a tough week one. New offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak, how much help do you think he can realistically give Rashad Hill in pass protection, knowing that J.J. Watt's on the other side?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this happen before, like where they've, you know, Khalil Mack, for example, in Chicago, guy that they face twice a year, where they end up, you know, looking to their tight ends for more max protection in those situations, but usually a team has like one really elite pass rusher and you don't have to worry about the other side as much. Well, you have JJ on the other side. Whatever you do to like try to help Rashad, you're probably not able to help Brian O'Neill as much. And I think you'd probably think that O'Neal, just given his stature and you know how good he is and where he's at in his career, he won't need as much help as Rashad Hill, who just like struggled all day with Trey Hendrickson in week one. But you're going to be in a situation where you have to have inline blockers, and your tight ends probably are not going to be that involved in the passing game because they're going to be trying to chip and help. Like, that's just something that is a role that they need to play because I mean, you guys saw it. I watched back that film from the Tennessee game, and they didn't do anything to help Taylor Lewan. Like, he went on there and said he got his butt kicked. Like, he went on Twitter afterwards and was like, yeah, that was a really hard day. And it's just like when you have tight ends that are in line and then they're like going out to like block the other guy when they're like stacking the box, it's like, no, like, why don't you focus on 55? Because he's really good. And he's had three sacks by the end of the first quarter. Like, I just, that game plan baffled me. But you'd like to think the Vikings saw that and said, we're not going to do that.
You know, from afar, it seemed like Mike Zimmer was not all that comfortable with Kirk Cousins' stance on the vaccine and all that stuff. I'm just curious, where is Kirk Cousins at right now in the arc of his career? There was a time when people thought he might be the next big thing, and I don't think he's been that. Who is he and where is he in his career right now?
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know who to compare him to a lot of times. Like, I think most people probably have him as a top 15 quarterback. Statistically, he can put up top 10 numbers, but does that yield wins for your team? Not necessarily, because, you know, the knock on him has always been when they're playing from behind because he's not able to get the team out ahead of the other team, like, you know, for all intents and purposes. Like, they've really struggled with that. So his numbers, like, he wasn't the problem per se last week. You know, it was penalties from the offense, none of which were on him. You know, the offensive line really struggled, but he wasn't able to lift them out of that situation. And I think some of that has to do with the fact that he looks pretty uncomfortable behind some of the, you know, some of the protections, like almost looks like he doesn't know where it is. And just it's a situation where I think the state of this offensive line, they've tried to fix it, but like everything's blown up in their face so far. Like, you don't have Christian Darrisaw at left tackle. You drafted him to play. You don't have him yet. Wyatt Davis hasn't done anything, and you spent a third round pick on him. So like, I think that with Kirk, it's a matter of, like, Zim said this at halftime last week and then tried to walk it back. You know, he thought he was holding on to the ball too long in certain situations, and that's kind of always been Kirk's MO. So, you know, I think he's at a point right now. I mean, this season, everything is coming to a head. Why? Because he's got a $45 million cap hit next year, and they need to make a decision. Hey, he's going to get us out of this 0-1 hole. Like, they'll make the playoffs, whatever, whatever, and then they'll extend him. Or I don't know what you do next year. Do you just eat, you know, just kind of like eat it financially and like suck it up and take the $45 million cap hit, keep him on your roster, and then, you know, depending upon how the season goes, where are you in the order to draft a quarterback? You know, they spent a lot of money on him. They just gave him in 2020 a 2-year, $66 million, nearly fully guaranteed extension on top of, you know, what happened in 18 when they brought him here for 3 years, $84 million, all guaranteed. He won you one playoff game. Like, I think if you're ownership, you have to have a very hard look at yourself and look at this team and be like, are we still going in the direction that we want to go in? Because there's one thing to be at a table, the cool kids table, where you're a relevant team, you're always in the conversation in the NFC, but like to actually be at the table, like the elite table, where it's like these are year in and year out playoff teams, that might require a change of direction from where they are right now.
Courtney, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us, giving that perspective. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.